Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Mondays at Mayan.
We're very, very, very lucky to have Dr. Leibowitz with us tonight. He's given a lecture series on Shaar HaBetachin at Mayan before that. World renowned. We're very happy to have him again this week, giving an overview on the concept of Betachin. What does Betachin mean in 2023? Please give him your undivided attention, Dr. Irving Leibowitz.
Thank you. Thank you. You don't have a clock here, so oh, there's a clock. Okay, just so you know, how am I doing time wise? That's all. I'm actually a little concerned. I'm a little bit concerned about what I have to do tonight, because the topic of the talk is obviously a very long, involved topic. Okay. Not something you can do in an hour. Last time we did this, I think we did six shiurim. Each one of them was about an hour. But what I'm going to try to do is a little bit of an overview of some of the key points. The title that we're working with was Betachin in 2023, so let's see what's relevant for 2023. There was a little blurb that was put on the bottom of the flyer that said something about an expert teacher. I am not an expert teacher. I'm far from an expert teacher. I'm just a guy like everybody else who's trying to figure it out and is trying to look at the sources and learn from the Makairis and see what I can make out of it and what I can understand. There was another line that was added on there that I wasn't aware till I saw it. That we're going to learn the art of a stress-free life. That's not what we're going to do tonight. I'm sorry. That's what people came to hear. Chazal tell us, Adam L'Omel Yulad, man is created for the purpose of doing work in this world. This is not a free ride. This is not supposed to be, the time in this world is not supposed to be fun and games. It's not about sitting by the beach. It's not about having a good time. The Pasuk says, we say it every Shabbos in Tfilo L'Moshe. This is the Kapitel Tilim that Moshe Rabbeinu, it's miyuchas to him that he wrote. We say, Yemei Shnei Seina Behem Shivim Shana. Person lives 70 years, and it's, more, a little better, so it's 80 years. The vast majority of a person's life is service. Life, and the Ramchal writes in the beginning of the Masil Shishara, a person's life basically is going from one sorrow to the next sorrow with a little simcha once in a while in between. We live a life that we're challenged. And nobody's free from that. Doesn't matter if you're rich. Excuse me? The Ramchal writes this in the beginning of Masil Sesharim. And, you know, we're challenged in this world. We have nisyonos. We have service in this world. We learn it from the others. You know, Avraham Avinu lived a life of nisyonos. He was challenged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yaakov Avinu. So we, for some reason, we don't use the language of Nisyonos by Yaakov Avinu, but Mat Varoim HaYishnei Chayai. Yaakov Avinu had Tzoros. I think the difference between a Nisyon and a Tzora is that Nisyon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, basically says to you, listen, I want you to do X, Y, Z, and I want to see if you're willing to do it. And you hear from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you do it, you pass to Nisyon. Take your son, be makrifim, go up, go to Eretz Yisrael. That's called a Nisyon. A tzara means it just drops on your head. You have no idea where it came from. You don't know why it came, what it is. Yosef Einenu, I have problems with love on. Where did this come from? Esav is chasing me. Why, what, where? And we have to figure it out, so to speak. We have to understand why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this and try to understand what we're going to take away from it. Our life is the life of Yaakov Avinu. That's our life. That's what we call B'nai Yisrael. We're not called B'nai Avram, we're called B'nai Yisrael, because that's our life. We lived the life of Yaakov Avinu, who went through Tzaros, and he had to figure it out. And he had to stay strong in his emuna and strong in his betachin throughout all of the Tzaros that occurred to him. But there's an interesting chazal, it's a Gemara in Yevamos, it's also a medrash. The medrash says, why were the imois, the mothers, why were they akorais, why were they barren? So the Chazal tell us, Shakadosh Baruch Hu misavel tzvilos shel tzadikim. Kadosh Baruch Hu longs for the tefillah of a tzadik. So he made the Mayis HaKadosh Leshad Daven. What does it exactly mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Misave? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a longing? That's a shiur in of itself. That's a, it's interesting. Nefesh HaChayim, not for now. But what does it mean? The Mayis were great women. Many of you have daughters who go to Beis Yaakov. I'm sure your daughters in Beis Yaakov, when they daven Shmoneh Esrei Mincha, they daven Shmoneh Esrei Mincha with Lahava. You know, that's, and they're not a chorus. And I guess the Imois would have probably davened ganz fine, even if they weren't a chorus. They would have had plenty to daven for. So why did Kadosh Baruch Hu have to make them a chorus? Why? So Parshat, you know, we have various tzaras because we don't relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the same way when we have a tzara, then we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we don't have a tzara. And even the Heilige Mamas, even the Heilige Imois, their tefillah as an akara was not the same as their tefillah when they were not an akara. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them akara, so they should really daven and really come close to him. It's an amazing concept if you think about it. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a chisaron so that they should daven. Even the Imoyes had to have that madrega, that level of motivation, so to speak. Now, what you daven for after you're motivated is a different question. This is an issue that many of the Sfarim talk about. We don't, maybe the highest level of tefillah, not everybody can be zeicher to it, but we don't daven for the tzara. We daven for the golus, the shechina, the galusa. We daven for the tzara of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We daven, you know, we want the Geula to come, we want Mashiach to come, we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be able to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do and take away the Tzar HaShechina that we're in Golos. That's what we daven for. But the motivation comes from the Tzara. Boirei refer in the Toshais Rabbis, the Chesroina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a lot and he creates Chesroinos. Why does he create Chesroinos? To motivate us. That's one of the reasons, many reasons, but that's one of the reasons, to motivate us, to make us think, to make us stop and understand which way we're going. I, as we say in benching every day, we say there are no chesroinus in the world, right? The terrace is, you go two lines later. Umeichin means HaKadosh Baruch Hu's prepares it. The Yeshua is there. The muzzling is there, the parnos is there, everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares for every being in the world, including man. It's mukhan. You're going to get it? You have to be zaycha to that. You're going to get it? Maybe there are times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hold it back, but it's there. It's mukhan. There's no chesroinus in the world, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates chesroinus in us. Why? To motivate us. One of the reasons to motivate us. So why is it that when we talk about betochen, we talk about if you have betochen, now you're going to have menuchas nefesh. You're going to have, you can relax. You have betochen and Hashem. You don't have to worry about anything. Great Gedolim went through big tzaras. You know, our parents and grandparents went through a Holocaust. Big tzaras. And I'm sure they didn't say, I have betochen, menuchas nefesh. That wasn't the outcome of those situations. I don't think that that's what it was. But the truth is they did have menuchas hanefesh if they had emunah and betochen. They did have a certain level of calm. They had a certain level of being able to sit back and deal with the situation. Those of you who went through the original shiurim that we did know that the Chovas HaLevavos is very into lists. Gives a lot of lists as to why certain things are the way they are. In the Hakdama, the Psicha to Shar Betochen, he writes, there are certain ta'alois, certain things that come out from Betochen that will bring you to Simcha Bo'ilam Hazeh. Number one, the Baal Betochen has Shalva Sanefesh from Redifa Tamimus Acher Tavas Aguf. You're not going to be busy running after your personal pleasures. If you have Betochen, you put your trust in Hashem. You don't waste your time running after things that, you know, Hadol Habolim, and therefore you can relax a little bit. You have a Baal Betochen, a Shalva Salev, from Menucha, from Nedida Achra Parnosa. You're not so worried about your Parnosa. You know your Parnosa comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu. Your Parnosa was already ascribed on Rosh Hashanah, what you're going to have, and you know you don't have to fight with anybody, and you don't have to make yourself crazy. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of your Parnosa. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of Kol Chai Pasech, Hasidach, Hasbid, Lachol Chai Rotzoy. everybody, the animals, the people, everybody that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care, can relax. Why do I have to do what I do? We'll get to that a little bit later. Number two, you pick a nekiyus, you pick a something to do that's nucky, that you're not going to have problems from the work you're doing. Number four and five are the ones that we really have to concentrate on, and that's she'ein leit tsar ba'agmas nefesh, me'abdom ba'olam ne'shumame shakol hu le'tovasla. Things don't bother us, because even when something doesn't seem to go right, called Oved Rahman al-Latav, but whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing for the good, so he's doing for the good. And you're sameach, right? Why? B'chol ma'ashakar, v'loim epnei shu b'teach b'ashem, shu oise imay rak ma'ashahu toyeh ba'amurai. You're happy because that which you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing for you is a toyeh. It's by definition a toyeh. That being mamin, that everything that happens to you and everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is l'toyv, is a perek and emunah. And it's an important thing. If you have that emunah, if a person can come to that level of emunah, then you can relax. There's a certain amount of menuchas hanefesh that you know you're taken care of. You know you're not alone. You know there's somebody there. There's an entity that's there with you. So this is the basic outline that is used generally to talk about. You have menuchas hanefesh if you have betachem, if you have trust. So, and the truth of the matter is, it's not different than it ever was in history, except for one thing. We find that in every door, in every generation, there are unique issues. Every generation has its own unique problems, its own unique gisha sachayim, its own unique way of dealing with life. And since every generation has its own unique thing, from the same svarim, the same Chavos HaLevavos, which, by the way, the Chavos HaLevavos was written, for those of you who want to know, it was written in the late 900s. Chavos HaLevavos predated Rashi, from the earliest Rishonim. Okay? It's not the Rabbeinu Bachai HaTorah, it's a different person who lived in the, it was a Talmud of the Ramban in the 1200s, a whole different situation. This is such a seminal work, Chavos HaLevavos, that many Gedolim had it on their table. I remember seeing somewhere that the Rambam writes that his father Maimon always had it on his table, on his desk. Chassam Sofer didn't start a shiur without saying Chavos HaLevavos, without saying something from Chavos HaLevavos. The great Rebbes, all of them, didn't say shiurim. They all learned the Mizritcha Magid, Kalach Pischei Chochma, was one of the things that he was very into, as well as the Inyan of the Chavos HaLevavos. So this is the Chash of a Sefer. It's a Chash of very important Lima. So the question is, so what are the things, the issues out of this whole parasha that speak to us in today? What are the issues that we struggle with in 2023? And I picked out three of them because they're the three issues that I always get asked about and people always are concerned about. And I'm going to list them and then I'm going to try to talk about them a little bit one at a time. The first thing is emunah, belief. Now, everybody believes in God, right? What are we doing here if we're not believing in God? But what does it mean that we believe in God? What does the emunah mean? What exactly is that emunah? We have to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is real, a real entity. A real entity, when you say Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Som, it means that he is constantly with me. It's not like I can take a vacation. It's not like, okay, now it's summertime, so I don't have to do this old stuff. We can go to the mountains and have a good time because I'm on vacation. Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Som, it means when I get up in the morning, when I go to sleep at night, and when everything I do in my entire life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing there. I have to feel his presence at all times. Well, if you feel his presence at all times, it's a lot easier not to do things you're not supposed to do. It's the same way, like you have a great guy, if you're Moshe Feinstein was sitting by the table, so you would bench really nice. You probably would not have a big problem remembering to be careful about doing avodas. And if, whoever your godel, if it's Lubavitcher Rebbe, or if this guy or that guy, or how would you act in their presence? And now imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in your presence. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in your presence, you have to act differently. And feeling that, the Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Som is a critical piece. That's emunah. We'll talk a little bit about it. The second one that people seem to have trouble is this concept of kol da'avad rachmanu l'tav avad. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is for the good. You know, we say it, we give it lip service, but every time something happens, the first thing is, why the HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? Why? I don't understand. Like, do I deserve this? Or is this really, does this make sense? What am I supposed to do with this? Didn't I just have a tzara last month? Didn't I just say, what's the plan? What am I supposed to make of it? Kol Dovid Rachmanu L'Tavav is a difficulty that we have trouble with. And the third one is the Inyan of Hishtadlus. Once we understand that a person is supposed to have Amunah and Betochen and all the rest of this, so why do I go to work? Why don't I just sit back and have a good time? Have Amunah and Betochen. And so where is the Inyan of Hishtadlus? Where is my effort in this picture? And even though we have pat answers for all of these things, the problems come up, and they come up, and they keep coming up over and over again in different contexts. So let's start with the Inyan of Amunah. I remember when I spoke here last time, I said a mashal, and for some reason that mashal, I didn't think it was such a gewaltig mashal, but it took off like unbelievably, because I got many, many phone calls from people who heard about it. And they said, from what I understand, what is the difference between Amunah and Betochen? What exactly is the difference? They seem like the same thing. Amunah is believe and trust. What is the difference? It's all about believing in Hashem. So at that time, you know, we used to talk about the Twin Towers, Aleihem HaShalom, when they used to be in Manhattan. And I remember when I was younger, there was an acrobat, a tightrope walker, who and he walked across, tightroped across that string, on between the two towers. So I explained, Emunah means, I believe the guy's going to make it across. I believe he's a good tightrope, he's going to make it across. Betochen means, I'm going to get on his back when he walks across. Emunah means, I believe it. Betochen means, I trust that it's really going to happen. It's really true. And I live my life with that trust that I'm on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's back, and he's taking care of me. And it's real. Now, there's another concept here which I debated a little bit about speaking about. I'm gonna try to explain it. And if it doesn't come out good, it's not because the concept is wrong, it's because it's my inability to properly explain it. But it's important to understand that the emunah that we have is different than when the world at large talks about faith and belief in God. It's a completely different concept. The world discusses, does God exist? Does God not exist? You know, basically it's, you know, am I going to believe in paganism, or I believe there's a God? Okay, that's the world's understanding. Our understanding of Emunah is a very, very, very much different understanding. And I'm going to try to explain this through Mishalom to some degree, and this is basically from the Sforim of the Bali Machshava, Pantuka Bali Machshava, Shlomo Volpi, Moshe Shapiro. This is how they understand Betochen and Emunah in our day. If someone were to ask you, how do you know you exist? How do you know you exist? I don't think anybody can prove it to me that they exist. You can tell me all kinds of stories, you know. He told me I exist. I asked somebody a question, he gave me an answer. But how do you know you exist? You know how you exist? You know how you know? Because you know you exist. You feel it and you know it. And you understand it. And nobody has to bring you a raya, and nobody has to bring you a proof. But you know it. This concept of ani is also one of the shemes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk says in Iyov, "Umibisori echza eleka." From myself, I will see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, what does that mean? That means once I understand that I exist, and no one has to bring me a proof because I feel it internally, I have the same internal feeling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists within me, and I am connected to Him. And without Him, I can't exist. There's no existence for me without His existence. When we say Hashanah, there's a line we say, Ani v'hoi v'shiyonah. What does that mean, Ani v'hoi v'shiyonah? Ani, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Ani. Like, I exist, He exists. It's a feeling that's internal to a person. When Hillel used to dance by the Sifras Beis HaShoeiv, and used to say, Ani kan, HaKol kan. Who was the Ani he was talking about? couldn't be talking about himself, even though a lot of pshetlik that he was. Ani Hashem, I Hashem, that ani that I feel, that I understand, it's one and the same. That's the yesod of our emuna. And it's implanted in us. It's not something that we have to think about. It's something we have to uncover within ourselves. Avraham Avinu figured it out. He came to that level and passed it on to Yitzchak, or passed it on to Yaakov, or passed it on to the Shlatim. And then came Maimed Har Sinai. And by Maimed Har Sinai, all of us as a nation got that. It's what some people simplistically call the Pintalid. It's there. It's inside of you. You just have to be able to uncover it. That unique connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ours. It's a Yiddish Azach. And I'll tell you a little shtickle Torah. This may speak to you, may not, I don't know, but I'll tell it to you anyway. You know, there's a halacha about a person, for example, Chazal say, a person is not allowed to make a t'nai on a mitzvah, to do it or not to do it, because you're called Mushba Ba'aymen. We already took a shvua by Har Sinai, so you can't make a t'nai, you can't make a condition on something you already took a shvua on. You took a oath that I'm going to accept this, and I'm going to say I'm going to do it only if, with this condition. You already swore you're going to do it. Where did you swear? By Har Sinai. Were any of you by Har Sinai? You remember being there? Remember being there? So Chazal answered that question. They say that all the neshamas from Klal Yisrael, but we're by Har Sinai. All the neshamas that were going to come to Klal Yisrael, we're all by Har Sinai. We all took the Shavua together. Okay, so neshama took a Shavua. But the mitzvahs are on the body. They're not on the neshama only. The body has to do the mitzvahs. The body wasn't there, only the neshama. So the neshama took a Shavua. What about the body? Why do I have to act on it? Why does my body have to act? And the Kedi Sotso gives a teretz. The Shlo HaKodesh says, and I have no idea what this means. Maybe you'll explain it to me, or you'll ask Rabbi Wolf, and he'll explain it to you what it means. The Merkaz HaPnimi Shebeguf of every Yid was by Har Sinai. The central inner part of the body of every Jew was by Har Sinai. It doesn't mean the DNA. It means that the central piece of every Yid, the Guf, was by Har Sinai. Our bodies were there too. And we took the Shavua. Okay. And at that time when we took the Shavua, that emuna was implanted in us. The problem is we cover it over. We cover it over with our aveiros. We cover it over with our pursuits of things that are not necessarily the things that we should be pursuing. We have to dig it out. And anybody who works in Kiruv will tell you that anybody that they try to work with, the issue is to uncover the Pintali. And once you uncover it, all of a sudden, this neshama blossoms and gets very into the issues of Yiddishkeit. That is what emuna means. Emuna is real and it's ours. It belongs to us because HaKadosh Baruch Hu implanted it within us. And we feel it. And that's when I say Shivis Hashem Lenegdi Sam, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there with me. He is there with me. Now again, if we take a look at some of the lists that the Chagas HaLevavos writes, if a person is going to have betochen, and all the sforim, like the tzaddikim, even the setup of the Chagas HaLevavos, emuna tchilas habetochen. First, you have to have emuna, and now you can have trust. First, you have to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. Now I can trust him. So he writes down seven different things that a person, that a being that I should trust in must have. Seven characteristics. And the only being that has the seven characteristics is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Things like, he has to love me. He has to be concerned about me. He has to be strong enough to take care of me. He has to know what the right way to take care of me is. He has to be able to be the only one who can do that, and not, you know, to the exclusion of everybody else. He has to be the only one who understands what's best for me, even if I don't understand what's best for me. And it has to be always. He's made it all the time. The only entity you can say that, you know, you can have your uncle who takes care of you. You can have your parent who takes care of you. They're not always strong enough. They're not always there. Hashem is always there, has the ability, knows what to do, and wants to do it, and loves you. That's Ois Aleph, understand. That's what we're believing in. Now, once I have such an entity, of course I can have the talk. Of course I can trust in that entity. And then he continues in the second perek, and he writes, in order for a person's betochen to be sholem, you have to have and believe in these seven things that we spoke about, and then you have to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's yodei machshavos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what you're going to believe or not. You can't fool him. You can't fake him out. There's no game here. You know, that's the whole story of Yonah HaNavi. Yonah HaNavi figured, I can get away. So you can't get away. He knows. He's inside of you, so to speak. You have to, the betochen has to be on him only, and you have to figure out, what does he want from you? If you want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take care of you, obviously you have to see what he wants from you. And the mazel that we have is that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us is what's best for us also. Just happens to be the same thing. Those are the things he's asking. It's a type of same. And then the last one is one that we're going to come back to, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, the Ratzon Hashem is, that this world should run b'derech HaTeva. Now this is an interesting issue. What does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to run b'derech HaTeva? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world and told us, I want the world to run in the natural way. I want you to act within the world naturally. Don't want this world to be a world of nisim. Nisim, when a nes happens, we are all excited. But I'll tell you a secret. Look in the tefillah. Can you find a place in the tefillah where we daven for nisim? Can you think of a place in the tefillah that we daven for nisim? We never daven for nisim, because that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and it's an interesting Gemara in Shabbos also, you know, that there's a whole series of these Yehi Chelkis. You know, they say, Yehi Chelki, my portion should be with those who do this and those who do that. And one of the Yehi Chelkis, Yehi Chelki, my chelik should be with those who goymer halal every day. They say halal, finish halal every day. The Gemara says, that person is a blasphemer. If he says halal every day, it's a blasphemer? What do you mean? Why you're a blasphemer because you say halal every day? And the Gemara answers, no, we're talking not about halal mitzri. We're not talking about the halal we said today, what we say on Yontiv. We're talking about the halal, the halalukas we say every day in Davening. What's the Gemara talking about? If my whole life is nisim, if my whole life is halal mitzri, HaKadosh Baruch Hu make me an ace, HaKadosh Baruch Hu make me an ace, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world should go b'derech HaTeva. You know, if you look at all the halukas that describes the world, the animals, the this, you know, ruach hasara, isav devarai, everybody's doing what. That's what the halukas are. They're not about nisim. You see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the day-to-day activity. Tov teglach. Everything that goes is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha with you. That if your only connection to Hashem is when He does miracles for you, that's no good. A miracle's an emergency. You use up your schusim when you have a miracle. It's like when there's an emergency, we're in Memta Shari Tuma, because Baruch has to break the glass and pull out the axe and okay, neat, nays time. Now we do a nays. In regular life, go b'derech HaTeva. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Okay, and we're going to get into that a little bit more when we get to the Inuk Hashtadlis. So that's the Inuk Amuna. We have to make the Amuna real. And I think that's the critical piece. If Amuna is not real, it's very hard to have a talk. Number two, it's called Ovid Rachmano L'Tavokid. Now, that's the corollary of that is, so why is Hashem set the world up like what? Why is it all going like, why do you do this? You know, like, why can't we just all have good time? You know, like, why couldn't it be just, let's go to Gan Eden, we'll sit there and we'll, you know, why are we going through all of this hullabaloo in this world with all the tzaras that we have, that we have to figure out that if I'm going to find, why? So I don't have the answer, obviously. I don't think anybody has the answer. I think I'm in good company. But the question really is to understand how we got to where we are, just historically. So we explained that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is brought out by the Ramchal in a number of Svarim, especially Derech Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's created the world to have and the best possible way in Sifrei Kabbalah is not to give people what's called Nama de Kisufa. Nama de Kisufa means bread that is of embarrassment. Bread of embarrassment means a free gift. If somebody just gives you a free gift, Nebuch. But if you do something to earn that gift, if you do something along the way and you earn something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to give us Namat Kisufa. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did he do? He created a beautiful place called Gan Eden, and he took Adam Marishan, and he put Adam Marishan in Gan Eden, and he said, I'm going to give you mitzvahs. I'm going to give you things to do here. It's a great existence. If you can hold on, I create you on Friday, you hold on till Friday night, we go into Olam HaNitzchi, we're in Olam HaBo. You earned it. It's no more Namad Kisufa. You can have all of the godless and the greatness of what we are all looking forward to. It's 3 hours other Mauritian couldn't hold out. Those last 3 hours of the day, whether it was 4 hours, some say 2 hours, some one, 3 hours that he ate from the Eitz HaDa'as. Okay, if he didn't eat from the Eitz HaDa'as, we wouldn't be in the situation that we are now. What happened over there? Now, there's an interesting Ramban al HaTorah. You study Ramban al HaTorah. The Ramban says that there was no Yetzirah in Gan Eden. Adam Rishon didn't have a Yetzirah. So the obvious question is, we didn't have a Yetzirah. So how did he do the Aver? There was no Yetzirah there. How did he do the Aver? How could that be? And here, there are many different Shatim. There's a Mahalach that's brought down by the Nefesh HaChayim. The Melio says it. Yerucham Levovitz brings it in his Sfarim. And to some degree, it's brought down in the Das Tfunis as well by the Ramchal. There are two types of Yetzirah. One Yetzirah is what we call a Yetzirah Mibachutz. You know, you going along your merry way and something from the outside tries to convince you to do something wrong. There's also a Yetzirah Mibifnim, the inside Yetzirah. My drives, my feelings, my you know, the things that drive me, that make me, push me to do an Aveira. It's internal stuff. Obviously, there was a Yetzirah Mibachutz in Gan Eden. Who was the Yetzirah Mibachutz? It was the Nachash. And the Ari HaKadosh explains what happened. What did the Nachash do? The Nachash had a pshetel. The Nachash explained, Hashem said, don't eat from this tree. If you're going to eat from the tree, you'll do an Aveira, and then you're going to come and do tshuva. You're going to come to a much higher level. It's what the Ari HaKadosh calls an Aveira Lishma. It's a, you do an Aveira for a good reason. Good things are going to come at the end from this Aveira. That's called Yetzirah Mibachutz. The Nachash, the outside world came and pushed on him, on Adam B'chava, that there's a good reason to do this. Hashem will be happy, you know. The worst thing a person always does is he says, this is what Hashem really wants, and then does exactly what Hashem said not to do. We do this every day. We have a svara to say that we shouldn't do the mitzvah because it's better. Hashem will like it if we don't. But he told you to do the mitzvah. Just do what he says. Hani kafshad rachman alone. You're going to figure out why. Just do what he said. You do what he said, you'll be fine. They had a svara. That's called Yetzirah Mibachutz. What happened once they ate from the, what does it mean they ate from the Eitz HaDa'as Tov V'Ra'? So, you know what? Hashem didn't want them to have knowledge? Obviously not. What does it mean that when the Eitz HaDa'as Tov V'Ra'? Means I now took the Yetzirah and I put it inside. Now I have a new Yetzirah. That Yetzirah is my drives, my feelings, my jealousy, my kinah, my tava, my covet. All of those things went inside of me. That's a different Yetzirah. That's what happened by the Eitz HaDa'as. Now we're in a different world. That's what Divrei Kabbalah calls Zuha Moshel Nachash. This is the Zuhama, the dirt, whatever you want to call it, of the Nachash that became internal to us. Now we're in a new existence. Now it's not enough that we have to do things to come to Olam HaBo, to be Zeichah, to the Toiv. The first step we have to do is get back to where we were before, when Adam Rishon was in Gan Eden. We have to get back to that place. And then we can, you know, take the Yetzirah out from us completely. And that's the job of our life. The job of our life is to get the Yetzirah outside of us, in a tava, covet, all of those things, to get rid of it, to get it out of our system, so to speak. The Yetzirah Mibachutz, yeah, we have to fight that as well. But our existence is to do that. And the truth is, we can come to a Madrega. Great people come to a Madrega. But the only way you get rid of the Zuha Moshel Nachash is a real chesed that Hashem did for us, which is hard to understand. We die, And when you die, you go in the ground and you become nirkov. You rot. You become decomposed. You know what that's like? You ever see plant a seed? When you put the seed in the ground, the seed decomposes. And once it decomposes, it now grows. That nusach we say in tefillah, matzmiach Yeshua. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is matzmiach Yeshua. We have to be put into the ground, be nirkav, and now we can have Trias HaMesim. That's the piece that purifies the body. Now we can rejoin with the neshama, Trias HaMesim, Gan Eden, Olam Haba, and now we're zoichet to come back to that place. There were some great people that could skip that step. Okay, there were some great people that were able to skip the step of Misa. There were some people in the Gemara. There's, you know, Eliyahu Hanavi was able to do that, you know, et cetera, et cetera. That's a whole shiur in of itself, how they did it. Yeshua ben Levi, Rosh Bar Yochai, all of those, this is the exception to the rule. They jumped right into Gan Eden. They didn't have to get near cover. Okay, this is another story. But for the rest of us, the rest of the world, that's what has to happen. So now you know what you're doing in this world. Now you have a certain idea about what you're doing in this world and what why we're in this mess. Why we have to get out of it. So my avodah is now I have a hard job. I got to get rid of the sefer hara which is within me, my drives, and at the same time hold myself away from the external yetzer hara. This is why we are in the world that we are in. So what happens? So again, here the Ramchal and Derech Etz Chaim explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a pure neshama. And that neshama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maktin. He has to condense it, to put it into an ubar, to put it into a fetus. That neshama is put into a fetus. And now as the fetus begins to grow, there's a malach who comes and learns with that fetus. Why does the malach come? Because once the Yetzer Hara, but once the neshama was condensed, needs chizuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and is machzik that neshama. Now the question that's brought, and it's a shayla, it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Gemara says, when is it that that the Yetzer Hara comes into a person? Is it from the time of Yetzirah or the time of Yetziah, the time when it's conceived, or the time that it comes out into the world? And Rebbe said it's from the time that it's conceived. And he was in a debate with Antoninus, with Mark Antony. And Antoninus said, no, it's from the time it comes out in the world. Otherwise, every fetus would jump out of the mother, wouldn't stay in there, would just come out of by itself whenever it wanted. And Rebbe was Maida. At the end, Rebbe was Maida. So the Gemara comes out at the end. That, and again, with Sukkim, I don't want to go into the whole Gemara, but the Rebbe comes out at the end, Ishas Yetziyah. The Neshama comes out in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes that Malach, touches you, forget all the learning. Because if the malach, if that neshama comes out with all the tzair that it had, the fetus would be a malach. We again defeat the purpose. That neshama has to grow in this world. That neshama has to be mesukon in this world. That neshama starts at a certain place, and every one of them is different. Some neshamas have more tzitkas, some have less, some have this, some have all different characteristics. One is the neshama of Esav, one is the neshama of Yaakov, one is the neshama. But that neshama, each one, whatever it comes out with, its job is to be mesukan in this world, to get rid of the zuha mashal nachash, to spend this life cleaning myself out, being matar myself, so that I come to the place where I have to be. A child in this world has a yetzer hara, has no yetzer tov, so he's behind the eight ball. How does he manage? So the Sfarim explained there's two things. Number one, the child is not responsible for their actions; they don't get an einish for their averus. And number two, it is called tenayfish shel Yisraelim. The Torah that children learn is called very, very holy Torah. It's very, very special Torah. It has the ability to be matzil, the child, to protect that child, as long as the child does not have a yetzer tov. And as the seichel develops and the yetzer tov develops, now the child has to work on himself as an adult, as he gets older and older, and do the sabayda. So this is where we are. This is how we got to where we are. But we are starting to understand that this whole setup is for our benefit. The benefit is for the chayim that's going to be the nitzchis, the chayim, the eternal life that's going to be in the olam hamas, the olam haba. That's where now, what happens, when is Gan Eden, when is olam haba, that's the big machlokes rishonim. Again, we don't want to go into it now. We can spend another five shiurim discussing when you go to Gan Eden, when you go to olam haba. According to the Rambam, there's two olam habas. According to the Ramban, it's only one olam. This is a whole different discussion. But the bottom line is, That's our avoid in this world. We have a job that with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chazdoi, with his chesed, enabled us to have the tools and the ability to understand and do the things to make that neshama possible to have a chaye nitzri in Olam Haba. And I'm just going to, thing I wasn't going to say, but I'm just going to say it very quickly, because we have this concept of Olam Haba that's really, we don't really understand either, because that's our goal where we're going. And Olam Haba, we think about is like, okay, you know what? Olam Haba, so good, you know? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tikra Toiva. It's not going so well here. Give me a little bit of my Olam Haba now, and okay, we'll manage. You know what I mean? I'll manage with a little bit less. I'm not going to, you know, today I'm not going to, you know, do what I have to do, and I'll manage with a little bit less. You won't manage with a little bit less. The story was told, the story of the Chafetz Chaim, there was once a big hunger among the Bnei Yeshiva. They had no food. And a meeting was called of all of the great Rosh Yeshiva of that time. And they had a meeting, they came to a certain place, and they had a meeting, how are they going to be mafarnes the bachurim in the yeshiva? Which was a common problem in Russia, it was a problem in Lithuania, you know, it happened quite often. And they were really at wit's end, they had a meeting, they couldn't come to any great conclusions. And they decided that they were going to go to sleep, and in the morning they would restart and start again with the discussion. So the Chafetz Chaim is in his room, and somebody knocks on his door. He turns around, is one of the younger Rosh Yeshiva that showed who was there at the conference, and says to the Chafetz Chaim, you know, I was thinking, I just want to tell the Rebbe that I have a solution for the problem. And the Chafetz Chaim, oh, so let me hear the solution. He said, I have to tell what the solution is. You know what the solution is? The mitzvah of tefillin is very, very chashuv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take one day of the mitzvah of tefillin and be mefarnes all the bachurim in yeshiva with that. Okay, we'll take it with the schar for one day to mitzvah tefillin. How many days are you putting on tefillin in your life? So one day we're going to take and we should use it to be mefarnes the bachurim. The Chafetz Chaim started to laugh. Why do you think the Chafetz Chaim laughed? Why do you think he laughed? What was silly about this suggestion? You know what it was silly? Chafetz Chaim said, I'm going to give you a mashal. He said, imagine you have a five-year-old kid and he walks on the street and he finds a million ruble note on the street, a bill. Okay? What is the kid going to do? What would a kid do? First thing he's going to do is run to the candy store. He's going to give the million ruble note to the guy in the candy store. He's going to say to him, give me candy for this amount of money. Okay? Now, if the candy man is going to be an elch guy, he's going to say, Tikma toiva, Shinekins, take this home and give it to your father. Let him watch it for you. If he's not, he's going to take the note and he's going to pile him up with more candy than this kid could ever eat in his lifetime. That's what we do. We're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us candy in this world. That's what we're asking for. It's candy. That's what it's going to look like when you come to the Olam Haba. You're going to say, this is what I gave it up for. For candy? That's what was silly about the suggestion. That one day of tefillin was the $1 million note. And they wanted to spend it on candy. Candy is to be a mafarnes all the bachurim in the yeshivas in Lita. That's what Olam Haba means. Now, once we understand that, we understand the toiv that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing, that he gives us an opportunity, and he sets it up for us, and he gives us the rules, and he gave us the book, and he told us what to do. And all we have to do is follow it and understand what's right and wrong, and what we should be spending our time with, what's chashuv, what's not chashuv, what we're wasting our time with. But tochen doesn't mean that, you know, I'd like to buy a $5 million home, and I have betochen that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give. That's not betochen. Betochen means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have a need. I want to do my avodah properly. I can't if I'm sick. I need you to help me get better so I can do what I need to do. I want to do the mitzvahs. I want to do the masim tovim. I want to do what I'm supposed to do. That's called betochen. If my betochen is because I want to show off, that's not betochen. That's not emuna. Emuna means we have to understand what the system we're in is. So this is the... That's the inyan of understanding called Oved Rachmanu L'tav Oved. And now I'm going to get to the issue of Ishtadlis. And this is something we said over in the shir. I'm going to try to go through it a little bit quickly because it's already 10 to 9. But when it comes to the issue of Ishtadlis, there are basically two shitas in the Rishayim. One shita we'll call for the shitas HaRamban. There are many other Rishayim that follow the shita. And one sheet, we're going to call the sheet of the pedestal above us. Ramban says that a person really should not do any ishadlus. A real person, what they should do is they should depend on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's a famous story we told over last time from the Al Sheikh HaKadosh. The Al Sheikh HaKadosh was once giving such a shiur, and he was talking about betochen, and he said betochen means you put everything on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you give everything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And while he was saying a shiur, it was a balagola who was passing by behind the Beis Medrash, and he listenedly overheard the shiur. And he said, you know, that's what I'm going to do. And he came home, and he told his wife, I'm not working anymore. Finished, no more work. Al Shekhat Vizot, no more work. So they didn't know what to do with him. Okay, went on a few weeks. They didn't have food. They started selling the furniture, started selling this, started selling that. Finally, they came back, nothing left to sell. They had one thing left, was the Agola, was the wagon. So they sold this wagon to a goy. The guy, it turned out, was a miner. He was a guy who was mining gold, silver from the mine. The guy took the wagon with the horse, donkey, whatever he had, goes into the mine, fills it up with silver and gold, and on the way out, a rock falls on top of the guy. The guy dies, and now this behemoth standing there with a wagon full of silver and gold. What does the behemoth do? Goes home. Goes to where it knows to go. So all of a sudden, in walks the wagon with the animal to the house, full of silver and gold. And you can imagine in Tzfas, it was like a Yontif Shein Kamayu. Look what happened. Al Shechot Vizot had got the Tochen. Look what happened, right? Except there was one problem. The Talmidim of the Al Shechot came to him and they said, Rebbe, Balagola, we're your Talmidim. We're the ones who are we're learning this. We're probably, this is, why does this happen to us? And the Al Shechot said, because you didn't do what he did. He sat down and he really believed it. He sat down and he did it. You didn't do that. You don't really believe it. You don't really believe it. But that's the sheet of the Ramban. The Ramban says that we do hishtadlus. Why do we do hishtadlus? Because we have a heter. We're pusi amuna. We're nebuch, not in the greatest levels of our belief. So Hashem gives us a heter to do hishtadlus. This is one sheet of the Rishayim. The Chavis Lavava Shita is diametrically opposed. And he learns it from a story in Tanakh. The story in Tanakh is Shmuel HaNavi. Everybody knows the story of Shmuel HaNavi with Shaul. Shmuel HaNavi gives him a mitzvah, Shaul HaMelech, that he should destroy Amalek. Okay? Didn't work out exactly the way it was supposed to. You know, he kept Agog, he kept it sign. And, you know, Shmuel comes after the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, what happened over here? Go give him, you know. Shmuel shows up. Shaul HaMelech comes and meets him, and what does he say? Shalom Aleichem, Hakim Maisi, yes, the Bar Hashem, I was Makayim the Bar Hashem, I wiped out Amalek. So, Shmuel said, I hear some sheep, you know? What's going on? Oh, no, the people wanted the sheep, and the king, he kept the king. So, Shmuel HaNavi says, this is no good. He did a big beggar. So Shaul begs him, come back with me to the people. He says, no, I'm not going back. You're going to lose your malchus. You know, Shaul gets, you know, very, very upset. He grabs onto Shmuel HaNavi's coat. As Shmuel HaNavi walks away, the coat rips. And Shmuel turns to him and says, Kor Hashem amlachtecha imcha nesancha l'reacha hatay b'mecha. You just ripped your malchus from yourself. No more melech. Okay? That's what Shaul, now Shmuel means he's not afraid of Shaul HaMelech. Okay, next scene. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Shmuel HaNavi, I want you to go and be mamlech, you know, give Mashiach to David, he should be the next melech. So Shmuel says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, but Shmuel's going to find out that I'm going to give him the malchus, he's going to kill me. Interesting question. What would you expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have answered? What should he have said? He should have said the same thing he said to Moshe Rabbeinu. Me son Pelado, I just told you go. Are you telling me you're afraid? Were you afraid? I'm telling you go. It's me, Hashem. It's not your friend. It's Hashem telling you go. Shmuel said, but that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, you know, it's a good point. It's a good point. You know what you should do? Take with you an eglas boker, take some cattle with you, make believe you're going to bring a carbon someplace, and you'll veer off on the way and you'll go and do it so that he won't know. What's going on? What's going on here? So says the Chovas Levavos, Shmuel asked the kasha, a very good kasha. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you told me I have to watch out for my life. I have an obligation to watch my life, right? Okay, now you're telling me put my life in danger. That's a stira. Is it this or is it that, right? So when you have a stira, there's two ways you resolve it. Either you answer the kasha, or you figure there's an extra l'kayim shneim. You find a way that you can do both. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's a good kasha you're asking. So therefore, do it in a way. It's extra l'kayim shneim. Take the eglas bokar. But what do you see from this? You see from this as a chiyuv to do things to watch out for yourself. You have to take care of yourself. That means you have to go to work to get a parnasa. That means you have to go to the doctor when you're sick. That means you have to do the things that are necessary to take care of yourself. That means that hishtadlus, according to the Chovas Levavos, is not a heter. It's a chiyuv. We're obligated. If you remember when we started, we spoke about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to run B'derech HaTeva. That's how he doesn't want Nisim. He doesn't want that so much look, oh, the Jewish people, they don't think just like the mud is falling from Shemayim. That worked in the Midbar, but it doesn't work now. Now you have to do things B'derech HaTeva. You have to be Mishtadl. But there's one caveat in that Hishtadlus. You have to understand that there's no cause and effect between what you do and what you get. It's not that I worked hard and therefore I made a living. It's I worked because I did the mitzvah Hashem and Hashem gave me what he thought I should have. There's no cause and effect. And this is the estate of the Chovas Levavos. And this brings a major, major issue for everybody now who has to make a decision. How much work do I put in? Do I work nights or do I come home and sit with the family? We all have kishbonos we have to do. We all have these kishbonos. And the teretz is you have to do what's normal. What's normal in your time and place is what you have to do. And I'm going to give you two examples, and we're going to stop with that. One example is brought down in terms of going to the doctor, right? You go to the doctor, you're sick, you go to the doctor. Doctor says, you have to take this medicine. So what does every good Jew do Saturday? Right after that, what's the next step? You go for a second opinion, right? Get another doctor. And if you're really, whatever, you get a third opinion. And then you have to have a kosa bashishish, yachriya b'neihem, if they don't say the same thing, right? What gives you the right to go to get the second opinion or the third opinion or the fourth opinion? Why do you have a right to do that? Kadosh Baruch Hu said you have to be mishtadl. I did my ishtadlus. I went to the doctor. So according to the Ramban, you can, as long as how p'chusa your amuna, how low your amuna is, that's how many doctors you're going to go. Your shpach amuna, you go to 20 doctors. If you have real amuna, you're going to go to one doctor. Now, again, if the steiger becomes that you go to two doctors, then that's called a normal thing. But we're just using this as an example. But according to the Chovas Levavos, when you went to the doctor, you went to the doctor. Now you're done. You're done. The doctor gave you the medicine. You go home, you take the medicine. You do what you have to do. Because there's no connection between my hishtadlus and what comes out of it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be the Reif HaKhoilim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be the Reif HaKhoilim. And I'll just, maybe the last one, we can skip the last example, I can tell you later, but I'm just going to give you a caveat to that, which I said in this base medrash by my nephew, very chash of a family here in LA. My nephew was one of the first people that was really sick with COVID, very, very sick, and was kemat, they were already giving up on him. And he was in Kaiser, and they did a trial of remdesivir. That was the new thing at that time. You remember the beginning, first it was hydrochloroquine, and that didn't work. Remdesivir, oh, that's going to work. Anyway, they gave him remdesivir, and he had a big turnaround. And Baruch Hashem, he's fine today, and they had a Suda Saidah, and he said, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for me, gave me remdesivir. And I told him a story. I said, I'm going to tell you a story about Shlomo Volbe, the famous Mashgiach of Shlomo Volbe. And I heard this story from the Balamaisa. This story I can tell you from the Balamaisa. Shlomo Volbe, who I knew, one of my mechutanim was learned with him in Shiva and Ber Yaakov, so, I'm a very chashuv yid. In his old age, he couldn't hear. He couldn't hear well. So one day, he tells his gaba, today we have to go to the doctor, to the ear doctor. Now in Eretz Yisrael, to get an appointment is not so easy. You can't get an appointment in 5 minutes by the ear doctor, right? So, okay. So the rabbi said, we have to go. He said, no, we have to go today. He got him an appointment. Goes to the doctor. The doctor takes a look at the rabbi. He looks at his ear. He cuts it around. He says to the gabba, listen. He's an old man. He has degenerative ear. His cochlear degeneration. His ear is not functioning. There's nothing we can do for this. There's no etzah here. But I don't want him to feel bad. So I'm going to take some warm water and put it into a syringe. I'm going to shoot it in his ear. He'll feel we did something and put some in the other ear. And at least he feels we tried. Okay? We shot the water in one ear, shot the water in the other ear. Fine. Okay, fine. They leave the office and they go outside. And the gabba says to him, you know, why doesn't the rav wait here? I'm going to go get the car. And Revolbi says to him, no, I'll go with you. And all of a sudden he realized, he said, wait a second. The rav heard what I said. So he said, of course. He said, but you can't hear. He says, what do you mean? We went to the doctor. He said, but the doctor said it's not going to help. So what does the doctor know? I was misspelled today. I felt in the middle of my tefillah today was a mesugal dika day that I have to go and make a hishtadlus. I made my hishtadlus and the Kodesh Baruch Hu took care of the problem. Okay. The remdesivir we know today didn't work. Was nothing. Didn't work. It was garnished. It's already proven. It didn't work. Okay. A lot of the stuff they used didn't work. So why did he get better? Why did he get better? They made their hishtadlus. Kodesh Baruch Hu took care of his part. Why did it happen? We don't always know the answer why it happens. But that's the hishtadlus is that you have an obligation to do it, so you do it. And you do what's normal, and you don't make yourself crazy with it. You don't turn it into a career, your hishtadlus. You, a person, now obviously if you're a doctor and you're a surgeon, so that's a lot of time and a lot of effort because you have to do what you're doing well. But whatever you're doing, whatever you do in your hishtadlus, whether it's parnasa, whether it's for medical, whether it's for whatever, I have betochen in Hashem. And I do the hishtadlus because the Kodesh Baruch Hu told me that I have to do the hishtadlus. And that's why I'm doing it. It's a mitzvah like every other mitzvah in the Torah. And what happens, the cause and effect? Not my problem. That's the Kodesh Baruch Hu's problem. So in essence, what comes out of this is, if a person lives and can really feel this level of emunah, if a person really can understand Kol Dovid Rachmano L'Tav Ovid, and if a person understands that I'm doing the Hishtadlus because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me that's what I'm supposed to be doing, you're going to have a tremendous amount of Menuchas HaNefesh. You're not going to worry a lot. You're not going to worry a lot because it doesn't matter what the outcome is. It's not like, Hashem, if you don't give me what I want, it's no good. It's Hashem, take care of me. And the Chavis Lubavitch can end with this, says that the Chassidim HaRishonim, when they davened, they didn't daven, Hashem, give me this. They said, Hashem, you know what's best. I don't know what's best. You do what you think is best. That was the tefillah that they used to have. That's a level we're not on. We still need the level of what we spoke about earlier about the emois, that, you know, we need a motivation. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us with a little motivation from time to time. The outcome is not always what we want it to be, but the outcome is the best outcome that could possibly be. It's the outcome that's going to give us a chaye nitzchi, as long as we're willing to accept it. If we don't accept it, all bets are off. So this is, I think, the estate of the Tachan. You want to have stress-free life? You want to not worry? Get on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's back. Let him take care of you. Do what you have to do. Do what he told you. Doesn't mean you're not going to have tzaros. Doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. And it doesn't mean you're not going to have difficulties. Every one of those difficulties is given to you as a matana. If you can come to such a level, it's not a posha thing. Not a posha thing. If you can come to such a level, ashrecha b'toiv lach. So that's a summary to some degree of the
Thank you, Dr.
Leibowitz.
It's a beautiful, beautiful, inspiring, powerful lecture. This is part of a series, Mondays at Mayan. Next week, Rabbi Brisky will be speaking here at 8 p.m. Please come again, same time, same place. Have a wonderful, wonderful night. And thank you again, Dr. Leibowitz. Really beautiful.
Okay. Beautiful. Thank you. Really beautiful. Thank you.
Grace and Shekinah.
Good to see you.
You are something.